I'm Pastor Phil Grotenheis of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. Welcome to the program Abounding Grace. Grace is a word that's frequently used in Christian circles. We talk about God's sovereign grace. We rejoice in God's generous grace. We sing the hymn Amazing Grace. But what is grace, and what are its implications for our lives? In the program you're about to hear, Pastor Chris Gordon unpacks the various dimensions of God's grace, and in doing so, he brings us into a deeper understanding and appreciation of its beauty for our lives. If you appreciate this program, and you'd like to find a church that reflects its perspective, we invite you to worship with us. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 9:30, and our afternoon worship begins at 5:30. You can also check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. Here now is Pastor Chris Gordon.
Building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, so very grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministry, and we would like to invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we are going to go to the book of Romans and look at the heart of the message that we advance as Christians. This really is describing for us today on Abounding Grace what Christianity is all about. Maybe there are some listening out there today who are just been unsure about Christianity, been unsure about all of the different things that have gone on, all of the abuses maybe that you've been exposed to, and you're skeptical. You're skeptical about the message. You're skeptical about what this is all about, what we do. I want to reorient you today to the heart of the Christian faith. Let me begin with this. I don't know if you're a Christian listening today, then you'll be able to resonate with what I'm about to do. But how much time have you ever given in the course of your life to preaching? And if you're not a Christian, why would you give time to listen to preaching? Why is that so important? Just for a minute, break it down. Let's say that a pastor's sermons are 30 minutes. Let's say that you come to two a week. Morning and evening. And in our country for years, across denominational lines, you had a morning and an evening service. So 1 hour a week of preaching, 52 Lord's days a year, that means that you get roughly 52 hours of preaching. That's just a little over 2 days in a 365-day year, correct? Now, most churches today have dropped the second service, so for most confessing Christians, you have cut that in half. It's 26 hours of preaching per year. Now, that's assuming that a pastor is actually preaching on a text of Scripture, and he's giving himself to do what the Apostle Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." We've assumed today, of course, that people can't listen to the pure preaching of the text. So we today in the Christian church have filled the time with personal stories. And let's be generous. Let's say that the average churchgoer, if he is attending a worship one service a week, let's say he gets 20 minutes of faithful preaching per week. That calculates, dear listener, to just over two normal 8-hour working days per year. Now, here's my point. A lot of people say they don't need church. We're finding that a lot today among even Christians who say that. My point is, do you know what the Apostle Paul says here in Romans chapter 1? Paul sets before us what the heart of the Christian religion is. He is telling us something that was summarized also to the church in Corinth, that God is pleased to save through the foolishness of the message preached. These few verses that we're studying today on Abounding Grace unpack for us the heart of how someone is saved from their sins and the wrath to come. And what is so moving is that in one swoop, the whole theme of Romans is given to us, and we have the way that God saves, the message that God saves with, and how we make it ours. How it all happens. You remember the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans saying that he longed to be with them, to strengthen their faith, to mutually encourage one another. But in Romans chapter 1, at the end of verse 15, he said something that explained for them the ultimate purpose for which he wanted to come. He said, "As much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." It's interesting to me that this is the first thing Paul says before he gets to the theme of the book of Romans. I wonder, do we really understand what preaching is and why this is so important? Don't you find it significant that the Apostle Paul would say, "This is the single great thing that I want to go do"? The word preaching, of course, means to herald or to announce good news. Now, Paul is going to expound on this in chapter 10, and he's going to say something shocking in the book of Romans. How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? You all know this. If you're a Christian listening today, you probably hardly gave yourself to prayer and Bible reading this week like you should have. God has put something in place. God has put something in place that you need. And here Paul is saying it. He's emphasizing right at the beginning of the book his whole purpose in Christian ministry, and that is to preach the word. There is a serious tension presented to us in the epistles between churches trying to get their spirituality their way versus listening to what these biblical writers are telling them about the very foolish, the very countercultural, the very seemingly powerless way that God has chosen to save people. This has everything to do with the same pressures we face today. Nothing has changed. We really do think that we will be effective in reaching people, reaching our young people, reaching the community, if we can make God relevant to the masses in some kind of exciting way. That's why today, dear listener, there's nothing uniform anymore in the church. I know that if you're thinking about attending church, sometimes people will say, "Well, where do I even begin?" Really, what we have created in the Christian environment is churches everywhere doing their own thing, trying with their own creative and ingenuity and all these sort of things to get spirituality their way. They're offering something new, something different, something more practical than the next guy down the street. People see this. People see the competition. Paul is putting before us here the number one priority above everything else. Right at the beginning of the Epistle of Romans, he says, "I want to come and I want to preach to you. I want to come and I want to announce the gospel to you." And so from there, he unravels why he wants to do this and what this gospel is. Notice verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save everyone who believes." Now, I find it absolutely amazing that he would say that. The very first thing he says is, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want to come and I want to preach the gospel." What is the gospel? The gospel is the announcement that God sent his eternal Son into the world, that he became one of us, that he stood in our place, and that he became the curse, and that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross. And guess who caused that? Guess who caused the death of Christ? It was our sins. It was your sins. It was my sins. And you see, God has commanded everyone to repent and to believe in Jesus. And that righteousness, that blood, that perfect life of Jesus will cover you from all of your sins. Now, it's a remarkable thing that at the beginning of Romans, Paul says, "I'm not embarrassed about this." Why was he constantly saying this? You can't read this without asking, did Paul face the tendency to shrink back from this? Obviously, kept saying it all over the place. Don't be ashamed. He said it to Timothy. Why would Paul feel the pressure to be ashamed about this? Well, I believe there are three distinct pressures that the Apostle Paul faced. What was the first pressure? The first kind of pressure was a cultural one. You know how powerful Rome was? You know how many philosophers and wise men Rome had? You know what they did with their gods in Rome? You've seen the statues, haven't you? The Roman gods were everywhere, portrayed in different forms and in power. You know what Paul was proclaiming? Paul was proclaiming a crucified Savior. Put those two things together. It's a scandal. Everyone who heard that ridiculed it. And it was strong. To think that Jesus was considered to be equal with God. Remember, Christians believe. They believe Jesus is true God. And that men put him to death? The unbeliever hears that, and they mocked the Christian message. They scoffed at the Christian message. You're proclaiming the death of one who is equal with God? The pressure was immense. That message was totally ridiculed in the Roman and Greek cultures. Then you had an evangelistic problem. People weren't satisfied with the message. And so they started trying to dress up the Christian message to make it not so offensive. Corinth really struggled with this. The Greeks always wanted more wisdom, and the Jews wanted great signs, and so the church started caving into this. They started using the oratory dramas of the day, and they started making their speech sound heady and wise and complex. In fact, it got so bad that in 2 Corinthians, Paul would call them super pastors who were rising up and coming as angels of light, and they were gaining huge followings. And he said what they were doing is that they were handling the word of God deceitfully. They were using it to manipulate people, and all these people were following. In fact, these super apostles attacked Paul, and they said that he was culturally and evangelistically defective because so many were rejecting his message. I love to quote today 1 Corinthians chapter 2 because it's just so relevant to our contemporary Christian culture. Paul said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom." You feel the pressure there? I didn't come using excellence of speech. We hear this all the time today. If people have big hearts and they're sincere, how could you condemn what they're doing? Paul's saying, I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't do the whiz-bang stuff. And I did that. I didn't do it on purpose because I don't want your faith to be in our own human wisdom to win souls for Jesus. So important, isn't it? That's a great evangelistic pressure, isn't it? It's really hard to do what we do. And I mean, you know, today we hear, don't preach to us anymore. I mean, that's a common statement made in our society. And here we hold this strong conviction about preaching. But it's hard to continue to do that when down the street you can head off to churches with super hip pastors, great praise bands, great espresso bars, young people with their own play areas, and you know, youth centers, and all these kind of things, even telling people to dress down. And here we are. And I don't say this proudly. I say it honestly. We're trying to fight the battle because we believe God has called us to do something, yes, that is culturally rejected, but it's God's chosen means to save. Preach the word in season, out of season. And we think to ourselves, feel the pressure in this? Good grief. Who in the world, how in the world are our children going to stick with what we do when next door you've got every kind of entertainment-driven stuff going on. Remember, the word amuse means to not think. We are amusing ourselves to death 6 days a week. What happens on the seventh? What happens when we come on Sundays and everything's focused on amusement, not thinking? These are awful pressures for the church today. And I think of that little church out there where the pastor is faithfully proclaiming the word and wants to see people come under that powerful word, but is constantly feeling the pressure of criticism because he's not doing things, quote, exciting enough. One more great pressure. It's a moral one, isn't it? For the gospel to have any meaning, remember, gospel means good news. Preaching is preaching good news. What do you have to say about human beings? What do you have to say about us? Well, it's not good. The first three chapters of Romans are all about sin. Who's talking about sin today? You know what Paul's going to say? He's going to say, lifting up the lid of your heart is like opening up hell. It's awful in there. There's all kinds of hypocrisy and all are guilty and no one is good. No one is righteous. Everyone's tongue is like that of a viper and God's wrath is burning. And there's no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of that glory. God has silenced the mouth of the whole world in its own righteousness. It's all as a filthy rag. Who wants to hear that? But you see, Paul's going to show us in Romans 1, things are that bad. And Paul understood that to know the greatness of God's love, his overwhelming love and his grace, it can only begin to be tasted. It can only begin to be comprehended in the preaching as it should be when people see a radical contrast and they see about themselves and their hearts what God has said. Feel the pressure today, dear listener. Oh, it's big. You know, if God were to huddle us all up and say, hey, I'm gonna leave it all up to you, what kind of message do you think would work? Well, here's what we would come up with. Here would be our message. If God said, it's up to you, do whatever message you like, here's what it would be. You are all wonderful people. God loves you all. Stop thinking negative thoughts about yourself. Be positive toward yourself. Build up your self-esteem. God is there for you to make you happy. It is all about you. Do you know that's the message of the false prophets of our day? You see, in contrast to all of this, Paul now explains why he's not ashamed and why he will continue to preach this message, contrary to all these pressures. Why? Listen to verse 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save those who believe. I'm not going to be ashamed in preaching this because it is God's power. You know what that word is in the Greek? It's the word from dunamis. It's the word from where we get dynamite. It is God's dynamite to save. And you see, what Paul is saying is that the gospel message is that kind of power. And we're called to faith to believe that. That's what makes our God so amazing in his kindness and goodness. He will judge the world. But right now, he's taken his great power. And you know what he's doing? It's so exciting. He's saving. I mean, to think, somebody right out there right now is listening to this broadcast, and we're bringing the message of God's power to you. And what a blessing, and that's what we want. We want to get out this message to you, that you would come into the church and receive this power every Sunday as God sets aside a servant to preach it. God has chosen this power to save us from the misery we are in. It's a power totally contrary to the power of this world. So Paul is amazed by this, and Paul says something so wonderful about it that you know, there's no more distinctions between Jew or Greek. Do you know the beauty of the Christian gospel? It's totally torn down the wall of separation between Jew and Greek, slave and free. There's no more distinctions. We're one house. And Paul believed this power was so powerful, it would be effective to the ends of the earth, because the nations are Jesus Christ's. It is his purpose to evangelize the world with the gospel. That's why he's not ashamed. He knows God is doing it today. It's God's power. And what makes this power so amazing? I love this. We'll close with this today on Abounding Grace. Listen to verse 17. For in it, in the gospel, in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. God has revealed something. He has revealed his righteousness. What is this righteousness that God has revealed? This is the most amazing thing about the gospel, dear friend, is that he's not talking about our righteousness because we have none. We cannot stand before this holy God. What God is announcing in his gospel is that a righteousness, a perfect standard, is being provided for you outside of yourself by another. Martin Luther understood this. The problem for Martin Luther wasn't that he didn't see a sin. He saw his sin too well. And you know, Martin Luther struggled. He always struggled. How, if I am a sinner, could I ever stand before such a holy and a pure and a just God? You know what Martin Luther said? He was reading this passage in Romans 1, 16 and 17, and he understood that God provides a righteousness that's not mine, but that's over there. It's the righteousness of another that I can receive by faith, by trusting. Luther said, when I learned how the justification of a sinner proceeds from the free mercy of our Lord through faith, then I felt born again and like a new man. In very truth, this language of St. Paul to me was the gate of paradise. Every Christian knows this today. Your life has drastically fallen short of the glory of God. You know what God has done? God sent his son who crawled down here. He became one of us. He took on our flesh. The true and eternal only begotten son of God became a man. And you know what he did? He lived perfectly. And then he went to the cross and became a curse. And God has freely announced to this world that all who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. Why? Because they are given and provided a righteousness by which they can withstand God's holy justice. In other words, Jesus's perfect life is like a great robe, and it covers the life of the person who believes in him. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to preach sin. I'm going to preach gospel. And I'm going to trust the Lord that this is his power to save and that he is indeed saving through this message. Dear listener, did you hear it today? We bring this to you because we want you to know the freedom and the joy that comes when you have this new life in Jesus Christ. We can do and try many things to find meaning in this life. But it is in the preaching of this gospel that we find the dynamite of God to save those who believe. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org to find out more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the program, Abounding Grace. In this weekly program, Pastor Chris Gordon tackles a number of interesting and relevant subjects that touch upon our lives. We're glad to partner with him and the Abounding Grace team as they bring the antidote for our fallen world, namely God's amazing and abounding grace. I'm Phil Grotenheis, pastor of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. If you'd like to know more about God's grace and how it impacts your life, I invite you to worship with us. We're a church committed to God's generous grace and the reformational perspective you hear on this program. Our morning worship is at 9:30, and our afternoon worship is at 5:30. I also invite you to check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. www.abc.org. God bless you as you continue to tune into Abounding Grace and the teaching ministry of Pastor Chris Gordon.